Ba-da-ba-ba.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
All right. Promoter 101. Promoter 101.
Promoter 101.
Promoter 101's Badass Bloopers and Best Ofs.
Welcome back, my friends. We're looking back at the best of W. Luke Pierce for this holiday break. We hope you have a great 2019 holiday season and an even better 2020. This is our gift to you, the best of W. Luke Pierce.
B101 in the morning with Steiny and the Pierce.
News of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, a standing ovation for the one and only newsman extraordinaire himself, Luke Pierce.
I should get like some applause there.
Well, Connor could probably put some applause in.
Thank you. Thank you. You're all too kind.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for news of the week. News of the week. News of the week.
I want to start by talking about something that I imagine I will probably ramble on about.
A story rocking the artist world this week.
Starting with a very bizarre and troubling report.
Fire! See what I did there?
Some breaking news coming in late this Thursday evening. Holy shit, can we talk for a second about the evaluation of UMG?
I know this is a podcast about music, but we should talk for a second about the Oscars and film.
More on this as the story develops.
That'll do it. That'll do it. That'll do it for news of the week.
Luke, what does the W stand for?
It's William. It's William Lucas Pierce is the full name. Unfortunately, I wasn't fast enough on Gmail to claim just Luke Pierce on it, and so I had to have the W in front of it and became a personal branding thing for a while.
Can we go with Willie?
Slick Willie Pierce, baby. Billy Luke was a family favorite that got tossed around by some of the family in Indiana, so that's more the Daytona crowd, not the Fort Myers crowd. So.
Is it still W. Luke Pierce on Tinder?
Yeah, you got it, yeah.
But you can just text him direct, Brian.
I got
Brian, it's actually W. Lick Pierce.
I think that's another app.
I'm like fucking Nostradamus over here.
Hey, the quote of the week comes to us from Winston Churchill. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts.
Indeed, wise words from a hero. Have to take it. Just go on straight to the cut.
The quote of the week comes to us from Harvey Specter. Ever love someone so much you would do anything for them? Yeah, well, make that someone yourself and do whatever the hell you want. Kind of a fun quote this week, Luke.
I like that a lot, Dan.
I thought you might.
2019 is the year of self-care, and that is my motto. I'm getting that fucking tattooed.
If you do, I'll pay for it. I'd love to see that happen. The quote of the week comes to us from John Lennon. When I was 5 years old, my mother always told me that happiness was the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grow up. I wrote down happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment. I told them they didn't understand life.
You know what John Lennon said as well? He said, I'm an artist, man. You give me a tuba and I'll get you something out of it.
Oh, God. What movie are you doing? Is that Rounders?
No,
it's not. It's fucking no. It's Matt Damon, though. Yeah. No, yeah. It's not.
Jack Nicholson.
It's Good Will Hunting.
Nope. Give me a tuba. He said tuba.
He's like, I just see black keys. Yeah. No, it's Matt Damon. It's Good Will Hunting.
No, it's definitely fucking Jack Nicholson.
Are both quotes in two Matt Damon movies?
Matt Damon.
Because when he's talking to her about like her playing the piano or how he does the math, he explains it.
Good Will Hunting, John Lennon.
Definitely there.
You can find an issue with anything if you try hard enough.
Of course you can. Or you can choose just not to be a dick. Stop looking for trouble. Luke, you can choose not to be a dick.
I don't know if that's a choice, Dan.
It certainly in some moments just doesn't feel like an option anymore.
That's true. I've noticed, Dan, I have to say over these last 164, now 165 episodes, that your tweets have gotten a little bit softer, a little bit more
magnanimous, a little bit more wise. Are you trying to share something with us here? I just know that your tweets have definitely gone in a little bit more of a softer direction. You're becoming less of a dick in your tweets, Dan.
You know, I think part of it is, you know, maturity. The other part of it is I think people are afraid to email me shit that's going to be a tweet of the week. So people have gotten a little easier on me in general just because they don't want to be the next lesson out there, I think. So, you know, I guess not a bad thing, huh?
This is real fucking high class art here, Dan.
Well, we look through the Q Prime roster of just some amazing acts and Q Prime South specifically with some up-and-comers like Ashton McBride, some established acts like Eric Church and Black Keys. And you've got this amazing musical roster for sure. What is your primary attraction when you're signing an artist? What are you looking for? Is it something in that vein or what do you look for first?
Are you looking to sign a podcast?
Here's our tape. That's why we got you here, actually.
That's pretty good. It was great having Fielding here. He just lays it down. And I got to say, it was really nice to have Luke sitting back in on some interviews again. It's really awesome to see you and Fielding just hit it off so well. It seems like there's a burgeoning bromance right there.
There is a burgeoning bromance right down to the Brooks Brothers he was wearing that day, Dan. I got to say, love it for Sperry's.
The quote of the week comes to us this week from Apple's Tim Cook. Winning has never been about making the most. Deep, motherfucker. Deep.
Okay. I'm not sure if that really is the truth or not, Dan, but we'll see.
Tim Cook said it. It's the truth. You can't argue with Tim Cook.
Okay.
He's Tim Cook. You're not.
That is true. I'm not Tim Cook.
We are just on a roll of facts today. You can't stop this truth train.
Wow. Truth train. King of the jelly beans.
King of the jelly beans. He loves
Lord
jelly
of the
beans.
Candy, king of the jelly beans.
Mr. W. Luke Pierce, help me out with this deal.
What do we have to do to see you in a new podcast today, friends? We've got a dandy one all gassed up right here, ready to go. This one's built just for you. And let me tell you some of the features this deluxe podcast has for you and yours.
What more can we do to make this deal happen, Luke?
Tell you what, proof is in the pudding, my friend. So let's just take it out for a test drive, open it up on the highway and see what it can do. I'll just grab the keys and off we go. AEG presents senior counsel Jason Bernstein. That's the man who actually got us Promoter 101 Twitter handle from some other nefarious group of which he grabbed it from. He sat down with us to talk about some legal advice that everyone working in a live entertainment business should know.
I imagine he'd be the first person to tell us you have to be careful about who you call nefarious without us getting sued. So clearly you were joking.
Sure. Maybe I was, Dan.
Allegedly nefarious.
Allegedly nefarious. No, I don't think that's in any way slander, Dan. Weren't they really nefarious? Now, see, that would actually be a slander.
Jason, if you could give us a ruling on that over Twitter, that would be great.
Did I slander somebody? Hey, cats and kittens.
Luke Pierce just did a Josh Lyman shout out from West Wing Style with the cats and kittens. So if you knew that was up, shoot him a tweet because he loves it when you know the West Wing references he throws out there.
Little words left and right, Dan. I'm just dropping Easter eggs in these last 45 episodes.
Luke Pierce, fresh off a call with his own mother.
How the hell do you know that, Dan? That's actually true. And a good time to remind you all to call your mothers, too.
And you can count down the days with us together as you can join us for the very final interview live from Nashville, Tennessee at the IEBA conference.
At the IEBA conference.
Your mother must be smoking Marlboros today.
Mama Reds. Luke Pierce. Do it for the kids. Do it for your professional development and update your LinkedIn profile.
This week's quote of the week comes to us from Mark Twain. The reports of my death are greatly exaggerated. Deep, deep, man, deep. You would assume.
I never really get Mark Twain quotes. I got to be honest.
You didn't get that one? Like, if he's actually able to acknowledge the fact that he's not dead, he's probably right.
That's a pretty good one.
I like the coldest winter I ever saw was the summer I spent in San Francisco. That's a good one, too. I don't think that's a Twain quote. I think everyone just credits Twain. So.
And that was even before there was an internet to misquote on memes.
And there's another one that Buffett steals, actually, which is bad. The difference between the right word and almost the right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug.
I kind of like that one.
Buffett puts that into the song Fruitcakes off his album Fruitcakes from 1992.
Are you talking about Warren Buffett or Jimmy Buffett? Which one puts that in their songs?
Warren Buffett's side project, Jimmy Buffett. He goes by the names Jimmy. He's got a band called the Coral Reefer Band, and they sometimes play some shows, Dan. You should check them out.
I think what's even funnier is that, you know, Jimmy Buffett helped save a donut chain a couple of years ago in the Warren Buffett style. So it kind of like, I don't know, bleeds off each other. Krispy Kreme was a Jimmy Buffett-like side project, which is pretty cool.
I didn't know that. That's really good to know.
Google it.
Blah.
And you can now find us on LinkedIn, Luke.
It's where all the cool kids are, Dan. You can also find us on cassette tape. If you go to the back of Grimey's Used and Pre-Loved Music, you can find us there on some A-track as well, too.
I kind of like the idea of like releasing a special best of on cassette. Maybe vinyl, that way Rick Farrell would listen to us.
Maybe some Laserdisc.
Ooh, Laserdisc. Love it. We could skip ahead using that fancy little laser pen they give you.
Or skip back.
Yeah. Wonderful wishes to everybody this week from your friends at Promoter 101.
Not really friends anymore. It's more associates.
Your associates at Promoter 101.
It's not so clinical when you say it, Luke.
Your loose acquaintances at Promoter 101.
But, you know, we'll still let you buy us a drink at the bar.
Your not-so-distant strangers at a conference, Promoter 101. Mostly Dan, not so much Luke at Promoter 101.
All those songs lost on MySpace. What do we do now?
Holy shit, Luke. Your voice sounds like you've been gargling marbles or something. What the hell?
Dan, I'm just finished up a music biz conference here in Nashville, which was very productive. A great conference for those of you who don't attend. It's more geared towards record label managers. Not a whole lot of live going on there, but after starting the Delta Ray tour last week in Richmond, Virginia, I pretty much spent 7 or 8 nights straight in loud concert venues trying to talk to people and completely lost my voice yesterday, and I actually had to call in some favors from some reliable rock docs to get some prednisone steroids so that I could even just be talking for today's podcast. So feel free to continue to make fun of the raspy, dulcet tones of Luke Pierce throughout this podcast. Thanks for tuning in to Promoter 101, and thanks to our lovely guests. Good luck. God bless. Good night. Cheers. Call your mother. Call your mother.
What are you going to call her, Luke?
Hey, Lynn, what's going on? I don't know. I got nothing.
Call your mom, Lynn?
No, I don't call my mom, Lynn. Call my mom, Ma. M-A. That's what she's in my phone as. It's actually hard to... I might change her name to Lynn Pierce in my phone because it's like when I say, hey, Siri, call Ma, it never picks it up. So I'm thinking it might need a different command.
For some reason, it's just like I'm expecting you to break out in Pearl Jam tunes. Like, don't call me, daughter. Maybe not.
No, not quite.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great W. Luke Pierce here on Promoter 101. See you next time.
See you next time.
As a special treat on this Best of Luke episode, we thought we'd bring back our favorite war story of all time. From over the pond, please welcome from AEG Europe, the great Toby Leighton Pope and this amazing war story. Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate it. It's good to be back.
What do you got for us?
We're sat here at the Royal Garden Hotel in London, overlooking Hyde Park, and I can't stop thinking about one of my biggest gigs here. Back in 2012, we did Bruce Springsteen, did 80,000 tickets sold out, probably the biggest show I've ever done, actually. And that capacity is now gone. You can't sell 80,000 in Hyde Park anymore. They won't let you. So it was a one-off, a moment. Sold out day, having a great time, watching Springsteen just do his thing. It was amazing. Just a great night. And I've got my friends there, family, and we're hanging out, and we're watching the gig, and there's a sort of setback behind the mixer. There was a little VIP area. My gang are there, are hanging out and thinking, wow, this is really cool. But Hyde Park has the strictest curfew. There is no going late. And Bruce had played here before, I think back in 2008, maybe 10, and he was totally cool. They get it. You know, they know it's a royal park. It's owned by the Queen, the local stakeholders here. It's not like hiring a stadium. It's the royal park. You know, it's tricky.
It's literally owned by the Queen.
Yeah, it's her park. It's her house out there. She's great and we love them and we have a great time doing it. You just have to be very respectful of it's their lawn. There's curfews and curfews. It's strict here. Also, Park Lane is one of the most wealthiest areas in London and some big hotels and they don't want loud music playing, which I get as well.
Do you settle with the Queen when you're doing the
I wish. No, they're her people. It's actually a charity who goes with the money, so they're amazing people to work with. So with the gig's going well, I'm sat there with my friends, we're having a great time. Springsteen's just killing it, as he always does, and I'm a huge fan. And he's played the festival before, he gets it. You know, there was a 20-band bill, 3 stages. It was cool, really cool. Come to about, I suppose, about 9:45. So we had 45 minutes, 10:30 strict curfew, 45 minutes to end the show. And Bruce is now into it. He's really into his speed. You know, it's brilliant. So I say to my friends, my brother, my girlfriend, everybody there, I'm going to go backstage and just make sure, you know, everything's cool. So I sort of fight my way through the crowd, 80,000 people, no gold circle, just 80,000, come as you are, let's go, you know. So I get backstage, John Landau's there and George Travis is there. I'm like, this is great. They're like, yeah, it was a great night, loving it. He's having a really good time. This is cool. I'm like, fantastic. There's no real set list with Bruce. He kind of starts and then he just goes off on a tangent, but he kind of finishes the same format sometimes, but it does change, as you know, if you're a fan. He has some kind of rhythms that he gets into. I think certain songs follow other songs. And so we're peaking right now. It's like, it's really happening. It's 5 to 10. I've got 35 minutes and he's probably got 4 songs left, maybe, you know. So I'm thinking 35 minutes, 4 songs, we're looking at fine, we're good, you know, it's okay. And so I stood on the side of the stage and I'm going, this is really cool, you know, Bruce Springsteen, I'm blown away, you know, biggest show ever. And I looked to my left and Paul McCartney stood next to me. I'm like, fucking hell, Paul McCartney's here. I didn't know he was here. He's just sat down on a flight case and he sat next to his wife and she's their girlfriend. And Bruce looks over to him and I'm kind of trying to back off now. I don't want to be seen, you know. Bruce looks over to him, winks at him, and then turns to Max on drums and just looks at him and goes, born in the USA. And then turns around and starts Born in the USA, which I don't know how the Americans will. For that's Brits, it's a fucking huge song. It is a huge song. He doesn't play it that often. And I'd done a few shows with him and I'd only ever seen him done it once in a few years. And I was like, fucking, I love this song. And it was amazing, you know, straight into it. And McCartney's, I think his current wife was American. She jumped up and put her arm on me and went, fucking hell, Born in the USA. And I'm like, yeah, cool. And so this mixed rush of emotion of, this is so cool. Born in the USA, Hyde Park, 80,000. I'm thinking, oh, fuck, this is a 10-minute song. He's not going to drop the last 3 songs because he always plays the last 3, which are all 6-minute songs. Plus this one that wasn't even on the set list, hadn't seen it, hadn't played it in the last 5 shows, 6 shows.
So you're 20 minutes over now.
And now I'm thinking, oh, fuck. You know, mixed emotion of I'm a music fan. One of my favorite songs. It's huge. You don't get to see him play it. The last time I saw him play it was the Olympic Stadium in Berlin and had the same experience, you know, fucking crowd. It was amazing. So I'm gone, shit. I'm thinking, okay, well, let's just see how this ends up. Maybe it'll be okay. Maybe it'll be okay. We saw George Travis. I went, hey, George, you know, it's 10:30. He's like, yeah, we got it. It's cool. You know. And so everybody's cool. And if you've ever done anything with the Springsteen gang, and they are so professional, they're on it. They know everything about that world. And they're just one of the best people I've ever dealt with on anything. They just get it. And they also get that it was a festival. The festival was called Hard Rock Calling. Bruce was playing a festival. It wasn't his show, technically. It was a festival show. So they say to me, when we do our thing, we do whatever we want to do. But we are respectful when we do someone else's thing. That's why we don't do many festivals, because we're respectful of it. But when we do our show, we'll play till the sun goes down and it comes back up again. And we'll figure it out because we're Bruce Springsteen. I was like, okay, cool. And so I'm thinking, shit, what's going to happen now? And with that, Bruce finishes Born in the USA. And we've got probably, I don't know, 10 minutes till curfew. I'm thinking 2 songs, 3 songs. It might be close. If it's 10:33, 10:34, you know, I'll get in trouble. But
just a wagging of the finger kind of trouble, not real trouble.
Yeah, it'll be a problem, but not a big one. You have to remember, when you have 80,000 people in Hyde Park, they shut Park Lane, which is the only way to go north to south in the center of London. No buses, nothing. It's shut completely. So we shut Park Lane around 10:15. And then nothing comes up and down Park Lane at 10:15. It's now 10:20. My phone rings. My boss is stood in the middle of Park Lane with the chief of police. Toby, there doesn't seem to be any people out here. What's happening? Normally people leave 10 minutes early, 15 minutes early, but Bruce is doing Born in the USA and no one's leaving the show ever. And I'm like, yeah, he's kind of finishing up, but we might have a problem. And he's like, no, we've got a problem. We've shut Park Lane. I'm here with the chief of police and there's police motorbikes. It's shut. No, you've got to get off stage. So I sort of see George and say, how's it going? And I phoned our ops team. We'd asked the local authority, hey, can we get an extension of the license? And there was just a local authority guy in the back of him just shook his head and went, no. And so we looked at the police and went, hey, can we get a bit of an extension? And they went, not our call. So, and it was no one's call. And that was the whole thing. It was, and so we're thinking, shit. And with that, McCartney walks on stage.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And the crowd go lunatic crazy. And Bruce just goes, hey, let's play some songs. Let's start with I Saw Her Standing There. So Bruce has done the Dance in the Dark. Dance in the Dark is kind of where Bruce finishes. So now McCartney's on stage. I Saw Her Standing There. So now I'm sitting there going, fuck, it's now 10:30 and we haven't finished. And he's doing I Saw Her Standing There, which is just a great moment. McCartney's playing guitar, not bass, which is kind of interesting. And then with that, my boss called me again and said, look, Toby, this is a real problem now. It's 10:34, 35, and it takes 20 minutes just to clear the site, half an hour. So we're, you know, it's going to be 11:30 before we even open up the road. And the road's been shut now since 9:40 or 10:15. So it's going to be an hour and 15 minutes. No one can travel in London on a Saturday night. Just chaos. I was like, oh, shit. And so I sort of said to George Travis, I said, this is a bit of a problem. George's like, well, it's your show. Do what you got to do. But that's Paul McCartney and that's Bruce Springsteen singing. I'm sort of standing there. It's saying, we're respectful. It's your show. It's not ours. But this is pretty cool. And I was like, oh, fuck, you know. So my boss is just calling me constantly. I've got the stage manager and the production manager on the stage as well. And I'm thinking, oh, shit. And so as he finishes, I Saw Her Standing There. Bruce looks at McCartney and goes, should we do some more? And I'm like, oh, no. You know, but Bruce has been finishing on Twist and Shout, which is a Lennon song, I believe. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure I am. And McCartney doesn't do Twist and Shout ever because he doesn't do that many Lennon songs. And so they start Twist and Shout. And with that, we've had to make a call and said, look, we've got delay towers through the whole site. Let's just start turning down the back delay towers or keep everything on stage on so people can hear it, but we'll turn down the delay tower. So people at the back of the room going, oh, hold on a second, my last tube's at 11 o'clock. It's now 10:40. We better go anyway and get our last tube. And, you know, so I'm thinking, okay, so we're starting winding it down. And unfortunately, the sound guy got a bit over zealous and we turned it down a bit too much. And so the last sort of 20 seconds of Twist and Shout was pretty quiet. And then Bruce looks at McCartney and they hug and they'll walk off stage and they're walking off. And Bruce is sort of looking around going, is there one more song here? Is there one more song here? And I'm just in, like, dying now going, I'm in so much trouble. It was just a death for me. Also, I'm a huge Springsteen fan. So one more song for me is kind of like, oh.
So part of you is like, yeah, there's another song.
Oh, yeah. And part of me is like, I'm going to get fired. Yeah. And so he looks at his guitar tech. Bruce's guitar tech's the best in the world. Knows exactly what he needs, whether it's an acoustic or electric or whatever, cramp or whatever he needs. It's just to watch his guitar tech work one night is just a feat in itself. And he grabbed this acoustic. And I sort of went to, almost put my hand on his shoulder and go, you know, you can't play anymore. And just as I took one step towards him, I went, Toby, it's fucking Bruce Springsteen. What are you doing, you idiot? And sort of just, I'm so glad I didn't. It's like my sort of promoter instinct was, hey, the show's over. My fan instinct was, this is the fucking best guy in the world. I'm not doing this, you know. So I stood there and his guitar tech went, hey, Bruce, here's your guitar. But it's done. We're turned off. My sound guys at the mixing desk are telling me we're off. And Bruce kind of goes, shrugs his shoulders, cool, looks at the crowd and goes, hey guys, in the waves and kind of goes, we're off and walks off stage. And I'm with Landau and I'm with George Travis and they do a runner after every show. So there's 10 cars outside, they're ready to go. And my boss has called me and said, look, we're now packed. There's 80,000 people in the park. No one can leave the site backstage. And so I've had to go to George and said, look, George, normally you come off at 10:25 in Hyde Park, you get in a car, go. By the time people figure out what's going on, it's fine. But people are now rushing for their last tube, 11 o'clock. They've got to get going. So it's chaos out there. We can't let cars leave the site because you've got to drive through 80,000 people. And this is how cool they are. George's like, okay, cool. I'll tell the guys. And just knocks on every car door and says, hey guys, we got to hang out here for a while. By the way, Bruce's guys have cleared out all of their dressing rooms. There's nothing there anymore because they're going to the next show. And so we're there. We've kind of got out casually and just kind of strolled around. They're buzzing. McCartney's hanging out. They're all hanging out. Everybody's buzzing after a great show. Bit of a laugh and a bit of funny. And it was great. And it was a good night. And didn't really think anything of it. And bizarrely, up until that point, you know, Bruce is a huge stadium act across the whole of Europe. Stadiums in every single market. Bruce, I would say, is bigger in Europe than he is in America. He is a solid stadium stroke, multiple stadium act, I think, in every city in Europe. He is huge in Europe. But bizarrely, in the UK, he'd never got big press. Always five-star reviews. Great. And he doesn't do a lot of press. Always five-star reviews. But you'd never see like a huge picture or there was never a kind of real, wow, Bruce is coming to town moment. It was always just, everybody knew who he was. It just never got the press that other artists sometimes would get. And so that night we were like, oh fuck, I got beaten up. I got bollocked for a while. We had a debrief in a room.
How late after the show came down were you?
I think 15 minutes, which is a long time when you've got the whole of London shut down. And so we're kind of sitting there and the Hard Rock and my sponsor said, we need to put out a press release. I'm like, no. Nothing really happened. No one knows what time the curfew is here. It's like, it's totally fine. It's cool. Bruce's camp seemed cool with it. I've checked. You know, they were cool. They got to do their thing. We kind of had a great time. It was cool. It was what a great night. Fantastic. We went out. We partied afterwards. Bruce, like, sustained a certain hotel. And we went back to the hotel and drank till late. And it was fun. And so I got up in the morning, checked my phone. And it's front page news. And it's gone around the world. Bruce Springsteen's turn off in Hyde Park. The mayor of London at the time, Boris Johnson, puts out a quote, I would have let him play all night. Although he has no jurisdiction over the park. And it's gone global. And we're getting calls from America. And I'm getting like, fuck, where did this? This was just a gig in London, you know. And it got massive, massive press. And we're like, shit. Full page reviews of the show and this. And people turned to, how dare you turn off Bruce Springsteen? You turn off Bruce Springsteen. And it was only, again, it was the last minute and a half of the last song was turned off, you know. But it was, you know, a minute. I think, and this is pretty cool, I had Paul Simon playing the next night doing Graceland from start to finish, which was quite a cool way to finish the weekend. And so that's cool. Bruce leaves. And then a day later, they're playing Ireland. And Bruce comes on stage. Crowd are going crazy. Looks at the band and goes, halfway through a note, starts Twist and Shout. Plays the last verse and chorus, picks up the mic and says, just wanted to finish the show from the other night. Now we can start this show. And starts the whole concert for Thunder Road. And that was their turning off in Hyde Park story.
That's awesome. Thanks, Toby.
You're welcome.
Promoter 101 Podcast.
With Steiny and the Pierce.
We've come to the end of the road, friends. That was the best of the best of the best of W. Luke Pierce. But hey, we'll be back with one more best of show before the end of the year. It'll be the best of, well, me. And we'll see you next week for that. This our final Promoter 101 lookbacks. Thank you so much. Enjoy your holiday season and God bless us, everyone. and happy Hanukkah.
Ba-da-ba-ba.